The Shavelsons' house was 4 stories tall and looked like it had attacked and grafted other houses onto it. Etheline had buried 4 husbands, and each one had added a few kids to the brood. Some of them moved out, but most stayed under the ever-expanding family roof.
Fuck off!
I'm here with payroll!
Bullshit!
There are 16 of you in here who haven't gotten paid in weeks, and I am prepared to drop 19,000 yuan into your accounts. This offer expires in 2 minutes. The door swung open, and Etheline Shavelson, all 1.5 meters of her, filled the doorway. The streetlights glinted off her face. She had decorated her tattoos with dots of reflective ink, so her face looked like stars on black velvet. She had done the same with the tattoos on her massive arms. Behind her, in the shadows, I could see a few grandkids peeking out from the end of the hall.
That should be 19,020 yuan.
Really? Well, it's a good thing you're on top of your family's salaries, Etheline.
What are you doing here? You've got nothing to do with payroll or cargo.
It's a new day, Etheline, and I am putting myself in charge of both. I want you and your family to get back to work.
Oh, that is funnier than the time you tried to punch Diesel at the Union Hall.
She was prying the ornaments off the clock face.
She wanted to make a mobile for her baby. Do you not like kids?
I love kids. I just don't like it when their mommies vandalize an important piece of neighborhood art because everyone's too afraid to call them on their shit.
You come here to sour talk, my daughter?
I came here to get your family and your entire crew to work sending cargo up the cable. That's 45 seconds. You want to get paid or you want to hide in your castle for another week?
We've been through strikes before.
They had a point. This one doesn't. Or are you going to tell me otherwise?
I'm going along with everyone else. I hear there's a strike, I go on strike.
I admire your sense of solidarity. Can you eat it for dinner?
We got plenty stashed.
I'm sure. What about your crew? Have you checked on them?
Some of them aren't doing so hot, no. George the Little, he's out of insulin. Lucy Cousins, her little girl's inhalers are out.
Then help me help them by getting back to work. Make the call. I'm good for the cash.
We'll get paid when the strike's over.
Then you can send my condolences to Giorgio and Lucy, because the strike isn't going to end, Etheline. Letty's going to drag it out as long as possible because it's the only way she can get the union to cover its debts. If people are dead, they don't draw payroll. If their families are dead, they don't draw benefits.
That is highly nihilistic.
And it's the truth.
You got video to back that up?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about you getting back to work. And my 2 minutes are almost up.
Send me a peek at your bank account.
You want to get paid, you come with me to the public terminal on Oshkosh and Bloor.
You don't trust me?
I want people to see you with me. I'm good for the money. You good with letting Giorgio go into a diabetic coma?
I want to know what your game is.
There is no game, Etheline. There's just people who work because we don't live in a future where we've become beings of pure thought who subsist on light. We live in the future where we've got to work to put food on the table to keep from starving. We chose to breach and join the union, and that means a lifetime of looking out for each other, even if we don't like each other. Letty may have failed you, but I won't. 20 seconds and I'm walking over to Jack Lopez's house. You know he'll take my offer, and he'll be the one who convinces everyone else to go back to work, because people listen to him.
They'll listen to me more.
Then walk with me to Bloor.
Grant! Ugh.
One of the kids appeared behind Etheline. He struggled to hold up a kit bag bigger than his torso.
You going back to work? You need your gear?
Oi, Markle, didn't I tell you to stay away from that?
I like to help.
Then you can help by doing what I say when I say it. Give me that.
Etheline took the bag just as the kid was about to fall over from the weight. She tossed the bag over one shoulder.
You run back inside. I need to finish talking with this lady.
Okay. You here to exploit my gran?
I sure hope not. Though that's going to depend on what she chooses. Markle stuck out his tongue and ran into the house. Etheline shifted the bag, keeping a firm grip on the straps.
19,000, huh?
And 20. Etheline turned back to the house. She put her fingers in her mouth.
It's a work day! Get a move on!
Within minutes, every working Shavelson had assembled in the front hall. A few of them weren't wearing pants, but everyone had their kit bags. Etheline jerked a thumb at me and addressed her family.
If what this woman has to say is true, then we're all going back to work. If it isn't true, you can throw her into the ocean off Sal's reach.
If you'll all follow me, we can get started. I hustled down the street, the Shavelsons following behind me. When we rounded the corner to Bloor, I saw six other people holding kit bags huddling around the terminal. I stepped back to Etheline's side. Send a little message, did we?
It'll take more than the 16 of us to get things rolling. Besides, if you hadn't mentioned Jack Lopez...
He's gonna get paid too. Everyone is.
Yeah, but we're getting paid first.
Rah-rah solidarity. I looked into the terminal's retinal scanner and spat on its touchscreen. It unlocked, and I saw that big, beautiful bank account balance stare back at me. I typed on the touchscreen and beckoned to Etheline. You're due back wages from before the strike. This amount look right?
Uh-huh. What about today's wages?
You get those when you clock out at the end of your shift. I've got it punched into the public, and I won't be able to cancel the order.
You can always cancel an order.
But not this one. We square? She spat on the touchscreen and read aloud what the terminal said.
Contract approved. Congratulations.
We shook hands, and she squeezed extra hard.
What about tomorrow's wages?
That depends on how much you dock monkeys can send up the cable.
Ha ha, you just watch.
Etheline nodded at the rest of the longshore crew, and they all stepped up to spit on the dotted line. By the time I had paid out that first 21 people, another 20 had shown up. Six of them were freeborn. One of the non-Shavelsons, a guy with a wagon wheel tattoo, was looking disdainfully at one of the freeborn, a woman with freckles and a tightly wound bun.
You can march right back to the camp on.
We heard you were paying back wages. We're machinists. We did a contract with the road committee that ended before the strike. We never got paid.
Show me.
Oh, like she knows how to use one of those.
You say something?
You got hearing problems? Cane in your ears?
That doesn't even make sense as an insult.
Go back to the camp on, lady. You can mooch off of us after we get everything working again.
I took a step toward them, but a powerful hand gripped my shoulder. I looked back, then down. Etheline held on to me and shook her head. Henriette Shavelson, the youngest of the clan, marched up to Wagon Wheel.
You got a problem, Nevniz?
Uh-uh.
Henriette was a head shorter, but Nevniz's spine began to invert until he was looking up at Henriette.
Hey, I'm just fooling.
Fooling? That's funny. I could have sworn I thought I heard you say something disparaging about someone who says they're due wages. And there's nothing funny about that. Is there?
No.
Damn right.
Nevniz took a step back. Freckles stepped up to the terminal. Sure enough, a signed unpaid contract for 5,000 yuan for services rendered to the roads committee appeared on her profile.
That should have been a union job.
Steamrollers don't care who fixes them. We're in town, we got offered the gig.
That doesn't make sense.
Of course it does. What better way to piss off as many people as possible than by offering a union job to non-union people and then not paying? Ask around, you'll find plenty of contracts like this. I blinked money into Freckles' account, noting that her actual name was Martha. And I intend on paying as many of them as I can.
Hey, what about us? Your brothers and sisters in solidarity.
Today, there's enough money to go around, but that also means everyone goes back to work, right? Jesus, I've seen more vitality in a management trainee convention. Are you a bunch of lifeless Big Three drones?
Hell no!
And are you gonna stand around while the Big Three wait for us to tear each other to pieces?
No!
Are you ready to remind those Big Three fuckers that they don't own us?
Yes!
Are you ready to get the hell back to work and earn?
Yes!
Then get your asses in gear! Go, go, go!
Woo!
They marched up the street. The freeborn swept up with the union people. Etheline gave me a wink as she followed her family. I grinned and kept grinning, even as I pulled up my bank account and saw the tiny dent in the balance. Maybe this wouldn't be so bad. Someone tapped my shoulder. I turned around and saw 50 more people lined up. A middle-aged man with one eye was at the front of the line. He had a baby in a sling across his chest.
You covering benefits, too?
Sign in, and let's see what you're due. By the time that 50 had filed past the terminal, I was down another 20 grand. I was also good and furious after seeing the payments that people hadn't gotten. Injuries on the job, pension installments, childcare. All the basics that the union had been formed to provide, and Letty had let them slide for a week. People hadn't saved because they hadn't needed to. When there were hurricanes or canceled orders, we came together to get through them. Hell, we had criminals and lunatics in the executive committee before, but even they kept the cash flowing. No one starved, no one got left behind. Seeing these families who'd worked their asses off getting screwed over, I walked to Shire Square, where I found 100 people standing around the terminal. I didn't say a word. I just marched right to the terminal and logged in. Out went the yuan by the thousands. I worked my way southeast, stopping for the ever-growing crowds to spit and swipe. Money flowed like water. It gushed into the accounts of people owed back wages, and it huddled behind dams for release at the end of day's shifts. I left a wake of open storefronts, raucous buyers, and people who were not killing each other. There was also a crowd of a few hundred people who had attached themselves to me. They didn't ask for anything or make any declarations. I got it. They just wanted to come along and see what happened next. So did I. When we turned onto Asa Randolph Avenue, a group of 50 people waited for us. They carried lit torches and machetes. I saw their shirt fronts glitter in the firelight, and I didn't have to get closer to know they all wore glass temple pins. I slowed, and my crowd slowed with me. "We don't want to fight! It's time to go back to work!" A woman at the head of the temple mob shook her head. She was the one who had led us into the murder house.
"We're going to cut you all down!"
I turned around and glared until I got silence. I looked back at the temple woman. "No one's getting hurt anymore! I don't know what Letty told you, but it's over. She's gonna be done, and you'll likely be going back to Mersk."
"We are never going back there!"
"You're going because you broke the law, and you'll go for whatever else you've done this week. We're gonna make sure of that."
"You got no evidence, and you won't have any now."
She tapped her temple.
"Damn it, my pie!"
Letty had pulled the plug again. I took a step forward and blinked hard. "I'm recording you right now. Whatever you do to me, it's gonna come back at you. You cut me down, you blow me up, it'll be on the public for everyone to see. You wanna risk that?"
"You think we really care about you? About any of you? We busted our asses to get here. And how does the union repay us? You sent us to that fucking rock to rot."
"Then why not come with us?"
"Where?"
"We're going to the union hall to kick Letty's ass."
"We are?"
"You bet we are. Because, you know, I've been talking about this bullshit for the past day. You want to know why? Ask around. I'm heading there right now. You want to come with? Come with. You want to cut me down? Do it another day. I got work to do."
I walked up to the welder woman.
"I'm still going to cut you down. That's what I got paid for."
"Then I'd rather you find another line of work. There's not going to be room for any more thuggery."
"Someone always needs to be cut. You're about to do it yourself. You match my price, and I might even..."
I kneed her in the groin. She doubled over, and I slapped the machete out of her hand. She stood up, murder in her eyes. I took a swing, but I got a fist in the stomach in return. I looked up and saw her smile as she raised the machete, so I punched her in the groin. Hell, a kick had worked the first time. This time, she held on to the machete as she took a step back.
"Fuck you!"
She pointed her blade at the crowd. The whole street exploded in a mass of white. The scent of vanilla hung heavy in the air. All I could see was white. Something nudged my side.
"Padma, is that you?"
I couldn't move, but I could breathe. A white fog cracked in half, and Sony looked down at me. She was in a patrol uniform a size too big.
"Oh, sorry we took so long. Everyone got so hung up on getting paid that I had to remind them they weren't getting a dime until we went back to work."
"We?" I reached for her hand. Sony pulled me out of a cocoon of hardened riot foam. 100 cops stood in the streets, all of them in regular patrol outfits. None of them had riot armor, but they were all cradling cans of foam. Behind them were 50 or so white fluffy lumps, like clouds that had plopped in the middle of the street.
"2 precincts worth of my best people. I've got another 2 spreading out around the city, opening up station houses, patrolling. You know, doing the work."
"Is that gonna be enough?"
"Depends if you're really going to try and kick Letty's ass or not."
"Trying is for amateurs. I'm a goddamn pro."
"Right."
She grabbed a cop and turned toward her.
"Get me another 50 people, fast as you can."
"What made you come around? Back in Bakara..."
"I was wrong, okay? I was wrong, and I didn't want to admit I was wrong, because I am also a goddamn pro. I let you down. I let the city down. My gut told me Letty was up to no good, that having everyone stand down was a stupid, boneheaded mistake, and I followed her instructions. I did as I was told. When I breached, I told myself I was done with that.
You were thinking about your people.
You're all supposed to be my people.
Sony looked away and pulled off her badge.
Oh, I don't deserve this.
Bullshit. Put that back on. People need to see their police out here. By the way, good move on having everyone wear their street uniforms instead of the riot gear.
Yeah, I didn't think it was good for us to look like an occupying army. Also, I didn't have enough equipment for everyone. All the assholes who didn't report in apparently raided the precinct houses for supplies, including all our armor. Oh, and that?
She pointed at the encrusted convicts.
Is the last of our riot foam.
Well, keep that to yourself. Speaking of which, is your pie back on?
Yeah, service has been weird.
Letty has a back door.
Into the public?
I tapped my temple. Sony made a weary face.
Oh, so she knows about the phone. And everything else we've talked about.
I'm working under that assumption. I have to admit, it's kind of liberating to know your nemesis is watching your every move. No need to hide. She can see us coming.
You realize that gives her an incredible tactical advantage over us, right? A dominating, crushing advantage.
I do, but I'm at the stage where I'm past being angry. Now I just want shit fixed. I think everyone else does, too. Speaking of which, you want your people to get paid?
Sure. Who wouldn't? You think Letty can make our payroll?
If she wanted to, sure. But I can take care of you guys right now.
You're serious? Well, that's never a good thing when you're serious. What did you do?
I sold the distillery.
You did what?
I had to, Sony. Rallying the people didn't do squat. They wanted to get paid.
Oh, so you took it on yourself to become the chair of the finance committee? Jesus! Here you go again, making a big, stupid decision without thinking about the consequences.
Seeing how doing nothing has resulted in fires, bombings, and maniacs with machetes wandering the streets, I figured it was worth the chance. Besides, who's going to get hurt by this?
You, stupid! As long as I've known you, you've only cared about getting that distillery. 2 years later, you're selling it? What is wrong with you?
It wasn't the distillery. It was the rum.
Oh, look, I dig a mojito as much as the next girl, but...
Wawa broke my brain. And the only thing that keeps it unbroken is old windswept. That's why I wanted to buy the distillery, Sony. Temro Pata came up with this whole ritual thing, and it works. Remember all those times I'd get spacey and weird?
Show me one person on this rock who isn't like that every now and then.
The rum has this psychoactive effect, and it keeps me sane. I only take a finger a night, that's it.
Hold it, I've seen you ripped to the gills before.
Sure, on someone else's booze. And has it ever been before 6 o'clock?
Why 6 o'clock?
It's just when Ropata said to do it, that's all. No magic, but it works. And it works because of this place. Holy shit, I finally realized it. Ropata had me figure out my place in the universe, and it always starts here. Wherever I am, I'm always on Santee, in this city, as we're spinning away through space.
Are you okay?
No, but I know one thing that will make me feel better.
Does it involve going to the Union Hall?
You bet your sweet boots it does. But first, you all gotta get paid.
You're damn right we do. Letty declared a state of emergency 2 weeks ago.
That was a pretty quiet declaration. I sent money to her officers. Great way to spin up dissension in the ranks. Maybe she really is some kind of ghost agent.
I have no idea what she is. None of my freeborn contacts want to talk about her.
Freeborn? Oh God, Onanefe, what happened to him? We need him to rally the freeborn. Or to stop them from doing something equally as stupid as our people.
He's okay. Got a detail guarding him.
A good one?
No, Padma. He's being watched by crooks and assassins.
Hey, at this stage, I have to double check. Can you get him to meet us at the hall? It was a different march than the ones that had happened earlier in the week. There were no signs, no slogans chanted. There was none of the giddiness either. We just walked, picking up people as we went. The streetlights flicked on as we turned south onto Solidarnosc. 100 people stood beneath the pale blue glow, the tired lines on their faces made deeper by the shadows. Onanefe stood in front of them, hands in his pockets. The casual look works for you, like you just happen to be hanging around with nothing to do.
I've always got something to do. I just choose to look good while doing it.
I could really use your help. Yours and every freeborn you can reach.
Well, you know you got me. You got my crew. Everyone else I've talked to, they're still not sure. There's a lot of talk of just fading into the campong while the city burns.
But they're still here.
People also want to see how this plays out. The wind smells like there could be a new deal in the air.
There will be. There has to be. It'll be a lot of boring, unsexy work, but I'm going to make it happen.
All by yourself, huh?
Why not? I already made one big, stupid choice today, and it's working out pretty well so far.
That is a fine mob you've got for yourself.
I'll have you know this mob represents a cross-section of Santee society from every trade, demographic, and bar.
What do you plan to do with this assembly?
I have no idea. Maybe we'll sit down and sing songs. I heard that worked on Dead Earth.
I heard that resulted in people getting blasted with fire hoses and attacked by dogs.
I like my version better. Besides, whatever we talk about isn't going to be the plan because Letty can see and hear everything.
It's that damn thing in your eye, isn't it? In all of your eyes.
She's got a back door into all of our brains. It's not a pleasant feeling.
She can't control you or anything, right?
If she can, she's doing a bad job of it. But she can certainly see and hear all of us. She can access our buffers. I don't think she can get into our public profiles, but I'm sure she's working on it. The last thing I need is for her to reverse all the payments I made.
Payments?
Uh-huh. I'm paying everyone's back wages, with the proceeds from the sale of the old windswept distillery.
That's...
insane.
I was gonna say impressive, but your word works too. So, she can see us and hear us, which is why you can't talk about the plan. But you got one, right?
Uh-huh. Just come along with me and you'll see. We swept down Sully Darnosh. The clock tower on the top of the hall appeared, its glass face lit from within by an array of multicolored LEDs. Whenever one burned out, the maintenance committee just slapped in whatever was on hand. So the clock face became a slow-motion light show. The color was mostly blue, like the street lights, but as we got closer, I could make out streaks of red, like angry lightning bolts. We crossed Kuthrapali, and there was the hall, that simple square of recycled concrete with iron palm accents. It was surrounded by a ring of harsh yellow stadium lights, probably boosted from Camp de la Industria, the football pitch over in Poble Sec. At the base of each light stood a pair of armored, black-clad, machete-wielding figures. As we got closer, they started banging the flats of their blades against the light poles. I kept walking. Sony materialized at my side, and Onanefe stepped to the other. I took their hands, and they took the hands of the people next to them. I linked arms with Sony and Onanefe. They did the same with the people next to them.
If they charge, we are all running like hell.
I slowed in the middle of the street and looked behind me. An ocean of people surged the lengths of Sully Darnosh and Kuthrapali, all facing the hundred with machetes. I unhooked from Sony and Onanefe and walked up to the steps. I focused on the two women in front of me. They had black scarves wrapped across their faces, leaving only their eyes uncovered. I stopped.
Would you mind telling your boss we'd like to talk with her about her job performance? We can wait!
I sat down on the sidewalk. I turned and saw everyone else had sat where they were, like we were all at a picnic or a concert. The women in front of me stiffened and stopped their machetes. I did the first thing that came to mind.
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? For the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong. Is there aught we hold in common with the greedy parasite, who would lash us into serfdom and would crush us with his might? Is there anything left to us but to organize and fight? For the union makes us strong. On these shores we built our city, made ourselves a brand new life. Indentured slaves no more.
I didn't expect Letty to come out of the great coral steel doors, not alone. But she did, her head high and her smile haughty, the look of a queen, not an elected official. I stood up and walked to the first landing. I wasn't going to give her the satisfaction of standing over me, never again. Her clothes were clean, her green hair in a perfect ponytail, but dark bags dragged her eyes toward the ground.
I fucking hate that song. Can you ask them to sing it again?
Why don't you order them to?
You know it doesn't work like that.
I have no idea how things work anymore. I do know that they'll start with you stepping down and turning yourself over to Chief Bagram.
And then what? You think that's going to keep everything together? You've only put a plaster over a gunshot wound. There's no money, there's no income.
We're going to figure that out, and we're going to do it without you. You'll step down, you'll relinquish all control over every operational aspect of this planet, and you'll get a fair trial for your many, many crimes.
And how are you going to find an impartial jury? Hell, how will you find a judge who isn't connected to me? I'm the president of a local with 3 million people. I pay everyone. There's no such thing as impartial here.
Then we'll get a judge from another planet. I think everyone can wait 4 years for that after what you've done. Letty crossed the short distance between us.
You can't prove a thing, and you know it. You can talk all you want, but in the end, it's just words. Too bad your words can't do anything to fix this. They sure as hell can't make me step down. What are you going to do about it, Padma?
All that power you earned, all that you've squandered, and the best you can do is taunt me like some boardroom bully. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you how to get shit done. I walked halfway down the steps and held up my hands. Pass the word, everyone! Letty thinks she has all the power! She thinks that we can't do anything without her! We're going to show her otherwise! I'd like you all to go home, eat up, and rest. If you've got food to spare, share it with someone who's hungry. Then, go back to work. Whatever your shift is, go to it. I want this whole planet working just for 24 hours. If you don't have a job, you can help clean up or check on the injured or the shut-in. We're going to show Letty and her thugs that we don't need them. This planet works without them, but it can't work without us.
I pointed at the clock, its hands telling me it was 8:30.
Work for 24 hours, then come back here at 6 o'clock. Get home safe! I walked down the steps. Sony had put on her cop face.
Really? That's it?
That's enough for now. How many police have you got in the crowd? Sony glanced at the worried faces surrounding us.
Maybe 200. You don't want us to try and take the hall, do you?
Hell no. We don't know what's inside there. I just want you to make sure everyone gets home safely.
Define safely.
Not getting hacked to pieces.
Well, I can do that. But you've got a plan for tomorrow, right?
Of course.
Are you going to share it with us?
I tapped my temple and she rolled her eyes.
Oh, I can't wait to get this shit fixed.
She wandered into the crowd toward a knot of cops and urged them to work. Onanefe had found his crew. Their funeral whites were now a dingy gray.
We'd asked to crash with you, but it looks like you're in the same boat as us.
I was going to Big Lily's. She can probably put us all up.
She got food?
Jesus, I hope so.
Padma.
Fuck off.
Not this morning. Come on. You got work and I gotta open up for the breakfast crowd.
Oh. I opened my eyes. Weak morning light crept through the windows. Big Lily stood above me, offering me a steaming cup.
Your friends, the cane cutters, they left 30 minutes ago. Almost cleaned me out, but I saved you some tea.
I sat up in the cot and wrapped myself around the cup.
Gotta get to the plant.
I pulled on my boots. My God, who's been at the plant all week? Has anyone been there?
I think they had a skeleton crew running the place. Surface has been spotty, but the water's been clean. Ish.
Ish?
It's been smelling a bit like, lard.
Oh, fatbergs, my favorite.
Do I want to know?
Just imagine all the cooking oil and rendered fat in the city coming together into one great quivering mass.
Ugh.
Exactly. Usually someone upstream from me monitors filters to keep most of it out, but with everyone gone... Well, if they show up, we'll fix it. If they don't, then I apologize for this week's water quality.
They'll show.
Then make sure you break out the good stuff for tonight. People are going to want
to celebrate. Uh-huh. Wish you'd have told me you were going to unload the distillery, though. I'd have put in one last order.
Good thing I left those two cases here for emergencies.
What do you think the last week has been?
Lily, you do have those cases, right? The ones I said not to touch unless the world was ending?
Well, shit, Padma, I think this is qualified.
Where's the rum?
I traded it for food.
Did you trade all of the rum?
Yeah. The prices have been obscene. You have any idea how much Sago was going for?
Big Lily kept an ancient wind-up clock above the bar. I had to be at work in 30 minutes. It was a 5-minute walk to the waterworks. That gave me 25 minutes to run like hell over to Mooj Markson's Konbini on Handel. I always sold Mooj old windswept at a good rate, and he always kept a case in reserve for me. I rounded Rygert and blew past my old union office, its windows covered by layers of graffiti, none of it friendly. I turned on Handel and skidded to a halt. A tuk-tuk bomb had gone off in the middle of the street. A blackened crater yawned from the pavement, and all the surrounding buildings were ruins. One of them was Mooj's Konbini. I walked toward it. The blast had blown the fruit stand aside like it had been made of cardboard. The Konbini's front had caved in, bringing part of the two stories above down on the sidewalk. I peered into the darkened ruin.
Hey! Get lost! You Huns already took everything!
An angry Mooj Markson stormed at me, brandishing a rolling pin.
Get out! I got nothing left! Go loot someone else!
Mooj! I turned in time to get hit in the shoulder, the same one I'd been stabbed in only a week before. My entire left arm went numb. I fell to my knees.
Yeah, serves you right! You blow up my store! You take all my food! What more do you want?
My rum?
Oh, Padma. Padma, forgive me. I've had all these people picking over my store's carcass.
No, that's okay. I should have called you from the sidewalk. You okay?
I've been better, but I've been worse, too. None of us got hurt in the blast.
Good.
Come on.
Mooj helped me to my feet.
We got burned out of our home, so Eleanor's brother has been putting us up. We still got some painkillers in the first aid kit.
Thank you, no. What I need are those 2 crates of old windswept.
Kind of early, isn't it?
I'm thinking ahead. You still got them, right?
I did. I had a lot of other stuff, too. But that bomb did my store in. What the shockwave didn't break, the fire burned. And then the looters took the rest.
But I hid those cases, Mooj, remember? In the storeroom up in the ceiling.
Gone, Padma. It's cleaned out.
Everything?
Yeah. But it's okay, because I re-upped my insurance. Special policy.
Oh, let me guess. A young woman with really, really great skin?
Uh-huh. That's her. She said it was backed by a joint venture between the union and the co-op, so I figured...
I have to go to work. The waterworks loomed overhead as I trudged down Cortland Lane. The stained clock above the front door told me I was 10 minutes late for my shift. I had never been late for a day of work in my life, but there was a first time for everything. The locker room was dark and dusty. As far as I could tell, no one else had clocked in. I slipped into my ancient environment suit, double-checking its seals and rebreather. My office, for the past 18 months, was a 20-meter square pour-form pool. 4 pipes emptied into one end, and another 4 slurped in water from the other. My job was to clean out the sediment that settled on the bottom and to ensure none of the pipes got clogged. Even with the giant fans, the air smelled like a back-flowing toilet. The mains were clogged with great, gray, glistening fatbergs, which meant my suit was soon covered in gunk. I didn't bother to break for lunch. I just lost myself in labor, clearing all the crap that the city had flushed into the sewers over the past 7 days. Engine parts, bones, coconut husks, hair, shit, oil. No bodies, at least. That was a pleasant surprise. As I worked, I realized what a perfect spot this would be for Letty to kill me. There was no pie reception, the walls were thick, and the noise from the pipes and the fan could drown any screams. Somewhere around 3 o'clock, I froze. Oh, shit. She was gonna do it. I hunkered down in the pool and backed to its far corner. Only my hands and face were above the murky water. 4 people filed in, all of them in rebreather masks. They held tools, a crowbar, a torque wrench, a pipe saw, a welder. All the things you'd need to kill someone and dispose of their corpse. Fanned out. Torque Wrench made his way toward the outflow pipes and stopped. He looked right at me, and I could see his eyes crinkle in a grin. That was enough for me. I gripped the rake and jumped out of the pool. I hit him square in the chest. Momentum carried us all the way to the wall, where the rake's handle snapped. The tines fell to the floor, and I held the splintered end of the handle to Torque Wrench's neck.
Give me one reason not to drive this in, motherfucker! Just one! We brought you lunch!
Through the scratched-up glass, I saw Somboon Halloran, who was in charge of pH levels in the settling tanks. I glanced at the others and recognized them. Danica Thorwald, Lehan Wai, and Annie Lonnan. They were all people I worked with. I looked back at Somboon.
You didn't take a lunch break, and we got worried. You're usually up there with us, so we came down to tell you we brought lunch. It's back in the break room.
Three more people entered. They were also carrying tools.
Who the fuck are they?
You're relief.
Bullshit.
Padma, I know you've been under a lot of stress.
You have no idea how true that is.
But people have been showing up to work all day.
This came from Danica.
Shifts are getting double and triple staffed. These three usually work on the lifter, but they're overstaffed, so they came here looking for anything to do. They want to fill in for you.
I gave them a closer look. They had rakes and shovels and all the implements you'd need to do my job.
Padma, please. I know you don't want to trust anyone, but I'm going to ask you to. Please don't hurt me. Come and eat. It's just like you've been asking everyone to do.
Nothing's gone like I've asked.
We're here.
You weren't this morning. I was late and none of you had clocked in.
Because we were late too. I didn't want to come into work until Danica and Lehan dragged me here.
I glanced over my shoulder. Lehan and Danica nodded.
I fucking hate this job, but I'm here. I'm here because what you said was right. We can't look to Letty to resolve this. We gotta do it ourselves. And we start by trusting and talking, right?
I put down the rake handle. They didn't rush me. They didn't come near me. Not even the three replacements. They hopped right into the pool and got to work. After changing clothes in the locker room, the spread was even better than I imagined. Pickles and chutneys and noodles spread out in an array of open tiffin boxes. We passed bowls of bean sprouts and spinach, plates of roasted yams and grilled fish.
I can't wait to see the look on Letty's face when we all show up.
Lehan practically choked on his food.
You campaigned for her when she ran.
So, I can change my mind. We shouldn't have let a freeborn into the union anyway. They just don't get it.
Don't get what?
Oh, you know, Padma. They didn't grow up around the life corporate like we did. They don't get what it's like to be part of something bigger, to look out for each other.
Like everyone has this past week?
What I'm saying is that Letty wasn't a good leader. She wasn't looking out for us. We need someone who will.
Really? If anything, I think we need to look out for each other even more. And not just union people, the freeborn too.
But they don't want that. They never have.
Because we've never offered them anything worthwhile. Holy shit. We're just going to repeat ourselves. We got into this jam because we didn't pay any attention. We let the executive committee run out of cash. We let them get in bed with the co-op over this stupid mutual fund. And we'll get screwed all over again when the cane gets certified.
But Wawa's holding up the certification, aren't they?
It doesn't matter. Because there's no goddamn reason for us to rely on Wawa. Not for certification, not for slots, none of that. We work against each other when we should be working together to do one important thing. Kick Wawa off this planet. Annie spoke up.
But we need them to buy our cane. And we need all the stuff they make.
Because we aren't making it ourselves. And we're not doing that because we don't have the right people. We don't have the right people because we're waiting for them to come shimmying down the cable. And that doesn't happen because the big three limit the traffic we get. And doesn't that piss you off? You came all the way to be free from them, but we still depend on them. We still need them because we say we do.
So we don't?
Not the way they think we do. We all do the work. I looked at the clock. 5:30. Come on. We need to get to the hall, all of us. Tell everyone you see to get there. Freeborn too.
But they won't come.
Yes, they will. Because we're going to listen to what they want, and they're going to get it. We're all going to get it, and we're not going to take Letty's bullshit. We're not just going to ask her to step down. We're undoing everything and starting over. They all looked at each other.
Padma, what are you going on about?
We need to dissolve the union and start over. We need to get rid of these barriers between us and the freeborn, because we are all so much stronger together. We have the one thing the big three need, Kane. And not just us on Santee. I'm talking every world in occupied space that grows the stuff. The big three are completely dependent on us for fuel. That means we have the power, and we are going to bloody well seize it. Together. 10 blocks away from the hall, and the crowds were already thick. I nudged my way through toward the hall. Sony and 100 police officers stood at the front of the crowd. They formed a perimeter around the hall. I stopped long enough to give Sony a hug before climbing the steps. Letty stood at the top, surrounded by 50 of her machete thugs. She smiled as I approached, then held up something. It was a triangular bottle made of bumpy sea green glass. She held it label out, but I didn't have to see it. I knew what it was. She knew what it was. She unscrewed the cap, and the seal cracked.
Buy you a drink?
I took a step toward Letty, and she spilled a little rum on the pavement.
Oops.
I backed off.
If you want it, you'll tell everyone to go home. You'll go back to your job. You'll quit talking about having me sent up, or dissolving the union, or whatever it is you've done over the past day.
Or, she splashed more rum on the pavement.
This is the last bottle. I checked and double-checked. All of your stashes are blown up, and every bar in the city that sells it has found their inventories reduced. Maybe if you run back to work, you can smell the last of it getting flushed down the toilet.
The distillery can always make more.
But not the way you did. The new owners are going to mess with the process, trim out all those inefficiencies that Tongao baked in. They'll buy cheaper cane, use different barrels. You need things to stay just the way they are, Padma. You and I know it. Or maybe everyone else needs to know it, too. I wonder, how will it look when everyone finds out that you're nothing but a functional alcoholic?
I'm sure I wouldn't be the first.
No, you certainly wouldn't. I learned a lot about the people who had my job, and they were just as corrupt and clueless as you'd expect. Some of them were good, but the rest, they were content to do less. Just let things slide.
Not like you, though.
Uh-uh. I could see the way things were going back when I was in the FOC. The Big Three would kill as much traffic as they could, and they'd extract as much cane as they could, and then they'd be done with us. You know what's going to happen come contract time? There won't be any slots. Wawa is going to withdraw from Santee Anchorage. They're going to shut down Thronehill, go into orbit, and pull the lifter up behind them. We're too much trouble.
You're sure?
Yep. It's all in their preliminaries. There's a lot of talk about traffic forecasts and cutbacks on staff. I can read between the lines. They're done with Santee.
So why do all this? Why the bombings and the strike?
To shake everyone out of their comas. We have to prepare. We have to get used to a different life, one that's going to be hard.
Then you don't do it by blowing up the city.
That was being efficient. I got people scared, and I knocked out your stashes.
Why the hell are you picking me out of the crowd, Letty? What have I ever done to you?
Nothing. It's what you could do that worries me.
What? What could I possibly do to hurt you? Letty nodded at the street. I turned and saw nothing but people for 10 blocks in every direction. I allowed myself a smile.
You talk, and you believe. What's more, you also know how to temper that belief with reality. Someone like Sarian, he believes, but he doesn't question. He sees opportunity. He works within the system to get his way, but he will never question the struggle. You do. You have. And you convince people to come along with your way of thinking. It's easy to scare people, but to inspire them? To get them to think of more than themselves? That's hard. I can't do it. You can. And that's why you have to step aside. Or else.
Letty took a swig from the bottle. I looked at Letty, and I walked down the steps until I was within shouting distance of the crowd. If your pie is working, please turn it on and start streaming. Ask people to turn on public terminals. Repeat it for anyone without a pie. I need to talk with everyone, and I want to make sure you all hear me. There was a furious wave of blinking. After a minute, Sony tapped her temple and gave me a nod. You're on. When I was in transit to Santee, Wawa used a new batch of hibernant. That was part of being an indenture. We were all test subjects, whether we liked it or not. We weren't people. We were just units. And damaged units are part of business. The hibernant damaged my brain. I don't dream. I know I've used that line in fundraisers, but it's true. And it's not the only thing. I started to lose focus, and then I started to hear a voice in my head. A single voice, and all it did was cut me down and make me question everything I did, whether it was tying my boots or breathing. I call it the fear, and it ran my life until I went to see Dr. Ropata.
He told me my brain was waiting, that it had been on hold during transit. Yeah, I know. I told him that sounded like bullshit. He agreed, but it was the best he could do with the medical tech we have. He gave me a treatment, and it has kept the fear at bay for the past 13 years. I go home at 6 o'clock, I light a candle, I think about my place in the universe, and I have a sip of old windswept. And that's why I worked so hard to buy the distillery, because I wanted to make sure the supply never ran out. I pointed back at Letty. She has, as far as I can tell, the last bottle of old windswept on the planet. She blew up every place I'd stashed rum, and she's cleaned out every other bottle around. If you ever bought rum from me or Estella Tongau, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me your old windswept is still safe and sound. She wants me to tell you all to go home, just so I can get my hands on that last bottle. She wants all of us to go back to our lives, to pretend that none of this happened. She wants all this because there's some seriously bad shit coming our way, and she doesn't have what it takes to lead us. That got their attention. I turned back to Letty, whose haughty grin had turned to terror. She shook her head. You wouldn't. I gave her the finger and turned to the crowd. There isn't going to be another contract. Wawa is leaving Santee Anchorage, and they're going to pull up the lifter with them as they go. They're cutting us off from the rest of occupied space.
Shut her up!
The police tensed, and the crowd behind them stepped through their line to link arms.
Everybody stay where you are! It doesn't have to be like this!
It doesn't have to end like that. Not if we all work together. And I mean all of us, union and freeborn alike. The union can't fix it as is, so we dissolve the union and start over. We sit down, we talk, we work it out, and we make sure that we keep the lifter open and running until the end of time. Unless you want to be cut off from the rest of occupied space. Do you?
No!
I know we all want independent lives. We want to make our own stuff and not have to rely on the big three for meds or parts. We should live like that, and we will. But first, we gotta dig ourselves out of this hole we're in. If the lifter goes, it's gonna get bad here, and fast. That's why we need to start over now. It'll be a whole lot of work, but it'll be a lot less painful than sticking with Letty or letting Wawa pull the lifter up behind them. I know you're willing to work. You did it today. You came here hoping to see Letty get her ass kicked. Well, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna vote. Any member of the union can call for a vote if there are enough of us assembled. It looks like we're all here. So here's the question. Do we stick with the way things are, or do we start over? If we keep to the status quo, go ahead and go home. If we dissolve the union and start over, sit down right where you are. I sat down on the steps.
If I may interject?
Enough of your bullshit, Letty.
Oh, this is no bullshit. I just want to know what you're going to do with the 50,000 yuan you got from the Union Treasury.
What?
In the middle of this crisis, when people are in desperate need of funds, you just got a 50,000 yuan payment.
You authorized that payment a week ago.
Can you prove that?
No, because you had a goddamn scrambler.
Did I? You sure you didn't make that up?
Jennifer was there, your bodyguard.
And where is she now?
You know where she is, out in the middle of that cane field where you shot her and her sister.
That's a nice move, shifting suspicion on me to cover up your own crimes. It's the kind of thing we should expect from someone as mentally unstable as you.
From my spot on the base of the steps, I could see a few people let go of the police and melt back into the crowd. I stood up. What do you want me to say, Letty? You wanted me to help stop this strike. You came to me and begged me to help you, and you said you'd knock 50K off my debt. Do you think I'm so proud I wouldn't take a lifeline? 'Cause I'm not. None of us are. Not when we've been shit on for so long. And I don't think anyone out there is going to hold that against me, especially when you haven't offered them anything but misery and heartache.
And what are you offering? Hope? You can't eat hope.
No, but hope can get us back to work, and that's more than you've done. We stared at each other for a few minutes. Letty finally flinched, and when she looked away, her face broke out into a mad grin.
Look what hope's got you.
The streets were clear, save for a few hundred who had sat down. I looked at them and realized they were old or sick. They'd sat down because they had no energy to leave. Well, shit.
I'm sorry, Padma. I really thought more people would stick around, but... Oh, God. I overestimated you. If I'd known this would be the result, I wouldn't have gone through all the trouble.
I'm not leaving, Letty. I got nothing left you can take from me, so I'm hanging on to this.
Oh, for God's sake, let it go.
Letty came down the steps until she was a meter above me.
You lost. You and the union and solidarity and all that crap. There's just fear and hunger out there, and that's all we've got. Maybe we'll get some freakishly smart babies getting born to keep us aloft, but...
A stream of silver shot into the sky, bursting into a blazing rainbow chrysanthemum. The sky above Santee City glowed bright with fireworks. I looked back at Letty.
You really know how to rub it in.
This isn't me!
Letty turned to run up the steps, but she vanished in a sudden puff of smoke. That got me to my feet, just in time for a riot cop to charge up the steps.
Get down, idiot!
She bowled me over, and I lost my footing and tumbled down the steps. When I hit the sidewalk, my head and shoulder ached, and the air stank of rotting vanilla. I looked up at the Union Hall. It was now surrounded by a wall of expanding riot foam. Armored police were running up the steps of the hall and lobbing grenades or wrestling machete thugs to the ground. Black and yellow bumble cars drove to the bottom of the steps, and then the tuk-tuks drove up the street, a multicolored parade that motored its way the length of Kukapali. One of them came to a halt in front of me, and Sirik had climbed out and helped me up.
You okay? I would have gotten here earlier, but we were clearing the last of the bombs out of our rides.
Did you get them all?
I hope so.
Sony walked down the steps.
They had about 100 tuk-tuks wired to blow with these little fertilizer packages. It was sloppy work, but we had to check all of them. You have any idea how many tuk-tuks there are in this city?
I thought you were out of riot foam.
No, I told you we were out. I had no idea how much Letty knew, so there was no need for you to know.
Anything else I don't need to know?
Only that you might be about to get what you wanted. Look.
The tuk-tuks had cut their motors, and the drivers got out and sat down next to their rides.
Sit down, just keep your seat.
People streamed out of nowhere. They filled the streets right up to the edge of the Union Hall, and they sat down. Row after row of people, Union and Freeborn, all sitting down, all singing. I pulled away from Sirikit and sat back down. Waves of people went back as far as I could see. I didn't bother to count how many people showed up. It was more of a vote than I had hoped for. I looked back at the pile of foam where Letty had been. Three police had pulled her out and cuffed her. A fourth waved a red light stick in front of her face. Letty just sneered at them.
That won't do any good. I already did it.
I saw a flash. Some of the crowd got to their feet and pointed northwest. I stood up and saw a thin line of black smoke rise above the rooftops.
Shit! We missed one. Where is that?
I ran up the steps. At the top, I saw the smoke column curl, its underbelly lit by flashes of orange and red. An explosion had triggered a fire. I looked back at Letty. I ran down the steps and grabbed Sirikit's arm.
We need to go, right now.
Where?
Tonkei, the distillery.
But you don't own it.
I don't care. We need to go, now.
Sirikit didn't hesitate. She walked to her tuk-tuk.
Move!
The crowd parted like a well-lubed door, leaving us with a clear path up Solidarnosc. I jumped in behind Sirikit, and she floored it. The seated crowd didn't end as we tore away from the hall. It branched off on every cross street we passed. All of these people sitting on the sidewalk or the street or their stoops or in front of their businesses. The workers who spun cable, the stevedores who unloaded canal boats, the drivers and cooks and strippers and priestesses. They were all outside, sitting down. I saw Freeborn faces next to Union faces. Some of them angry, some of them weeping, all of them sitting.
I know you're not in the mood to hear this, but it was really brave of you to say that in front of everyone. About the reason why you held on to the distillery?
There was nothing brave about it. Letty wanted to use it as leverage, and the only way I could take away her power was to admit it myself. Everyone's gonna think I'm a drunk or a nutcase or both.
They'll know you're one of us. You're trying to get your shit together the best you can. We all are.
My best is a finger of rum and a candle.
Nobody's perfect.
I looked over my shoulder and saw a white Hanuman with 10 people standing in the back following us. They waved. In the cab, Onanefe had his fingers wrapped around the steering wheel, and he gave me a curt nod. I nodded back.
More joined us. Delivery lorries and tankers and a lumbering fire truck. By the time we left the city, we were at the head of a column of 50 vehicles. As we passed the goat farm, I saw nothing ahead but smoke and flame. Some of the wind beasts were on their sides, knocked over by the blast. We slowed in front of the distillery. A giant smoldering hole sat in front of the press house, and a slightly smaller hole had been blown through the wall. The curing house was nothing but a raging fire. I looked at the flaming wreckage of the press. The giant cylinders had been blasted through the press house wall, and all the cane juice embedded in them had caught fire. It glowed a dull red. Onanefe and his crew got to work, as did everyone else with firefighting experience. There wasn't any risk to my neighbors, as the grasslands that surrounded the distillery were too green to catch fire. I just sat in Sirikit's tuk-tuk and watched them work. As much as I wanted to run in and grab everything I could, it would only get in the way. Within 30 minutes, the fire was out. Onanefe walked over, his clothes streaked black.
Not much left.
Fortunately, I now have that 50,000 you say I owe you.
Don't worry about that.
No, I pay my debts, even when I'm not sure they're really mine. The new owners are going to be pissed, whoever they are.
This is going to take lawyers, isn't it? Man, I hate dealing with them.
Me too. But if you find someone good, keep them. A good lawyer can save your life. I got out of the tuk-tuk and walked around, Sirikit and Onanefe trailing behind me. The buildings were gutted, and any machinery had turned to slag. What the hell am I going to do now?
Come on. Come on out of this place. Come back to town. We have a lot of work to do, and people are going to count on you to show them the way.
That's going to be a neat trick once my brain seizes up.
I can't wait.
You talked to one doctor, and you kept your treatment a secret. There are lots of other people to talk with, and you know they'll all want to help. It's what we do, right?
So you believed my bullshit, too?
Uh-uh. It wasn't bullshit. It was the truth. We are all here on this rock, and we either help each other out or cut each other down. I'd rather help.
Us, too. It's going to be a hell of a lot of work, like you said, but it's the best way forward.
Okay. But first, I'm going to need a very, very stiff drink. In my time as an organizer, I'd gone to plenty of meetings in the Prez's office. It was on the fourth floor of the hall, in a coral steel atrium in the middle of an ocean of desks and tables. The office's positioning was symbolic and practical. The Prez had to be at the center of everything to make sense of what was going on. Someone had called it the Hurricane's Eye 50 years ago, and the name stuck. Glass art covered the walls of the eye. Collages of drift glass and hand-blown chimes and stuff that looked like it had staggered home from a really good party at a foundry. The head of the staffers, a loping man named Moritz Wynn, with a quill inked on his face, clued me in.
All of this artwork came from Letty's predecessor. Letty didn't really do any decorating herself. If you want to change anything, though, just say the word.
How about the desk? The desk was a rickety thing, nothing more than an unfinished door perched on top of two sawhorses. Two rusted wire baskets labeled In and Out sat on either end of the desk. The In basket held a stack of yellowed paper 10 centimeters high. The Out basket was empty.
You're welcome to something else, of course, but it's considered tradition to keep this desk here. The first Prez used it when the Union was formed, so you know how it is.
I picked up the top sheet of paper. It was a crop report from 5 years ago. I rooted to the bottom of the pile and found a request for reimbursement dated the day my grandfather had been born. Why is this still here? Hasn't it been scanned and filed?
Yes, it was. It's meant to be a reminder of the responsibilities of the office and how the Prez is supposed to consult with the past to point the way to the future.
You're kidding, right?
It's a tradition passed down with the office.
We're going to burn it. Please help me take all this out in the middle of the street so we can set fire to it.
Well, are you sure, Madam Prez?
And please, do not call me that. I know it's my job to make the decisions, but it's a job, not a title. I'd like you to call me Padma. What would you like me to call you?
I suppose Moritz will be fine. I'll be sure to tell everyone else. Some of the older staffers may grumble, but what the hell. Those guys are assholes anyway.
I think we're going to get along just fine. It took 2 trips, one for the door, and the second for the sawhorses and baskets. 12 curious staffers followed onto the sidewalk at Kuthrapali to watch as Moritz and I took turns putting our boots through the door. Is there any more crap like this? Useless stuff that we're hanging on to because we're supposed to? And I don't mean art or history or anything like that. I'm talking receipts and broken shit. The staffers ran back into the hall and reappeared within minutes, holding busted machinery, moldy books, and stacks of paperwork. After Moritz assured me their contents were all accounted for on the public, I helped people throw it on the pile. I pulled a lighter out of my pocket and set the pile ablaze. Within 15 minutes, it was all embers. A few squirts from fire extinguishers and 100 years of dead weight were flushed into the gutter. I blinked up the time. 6:15. Perfect way to wrap up a first day.
Do you want a new desk?
No, I'm not going to be spending much time at the office. We'll host the initial meetings at the hall, because we got enough room for everyone. But the next sessions are going to be out in the city and the Kampong.
Really? Do they have the facilities?
We'll have to string up some signal boosters for Pi reception, but we need to do that anyway. Make sure you get permission from the landowners and pay them the same rate you would in town, got it?
Yes. We have the funds, but it'll take some lead-up time to get the equipment out there. Most of our line crews are busy doing firmware updates by hand. Ugh, there are a lot of back doors to close.
Get as many people as you can spare working in the Kampong. We got a couple of weeks, but I'd rather not cut it too close. Take it out of the emergency overtime fund if you have to.
There isn't a lot left in there.
We'll deal. It's not like we have much choice. See you tomorrow. I got an appointment to keep. For the past week, I'd been hosting the first sessions of what we simply called the convention, and all of our meetings had been in the hall. I had come up with the bright idea of having us all sit on cushions so we would all be on a truly level field. No one could sit next to someone they knew or were allied with, which made for an interesting game of musical cushions every time we convened. The plan had worked for the most part. We were all equally sore and grumpy, but we'd hammered out a hell of a lot of details. Plus, it had helped me avoid going up to the hurricane's eye after everyone elected me the president of the convention. I didn't want the job. After Onanefe nominated me, I told him I didn't want the job. After everyone there elected me, unanimously, I shouted I didn't want the fucking job to give it to anyone else. They pointed out that my not wanting the job made me perfect for it, and I told them all to go to hell. They just clapped and applauded themselves for sound democratic judgment. The bastards. I walked down Krippner Lane, a neighborhood of poor form flats. This was one of the older neighborhoods built around the time of the first contract. The building materials were part of that bargain, the housing a step up from the cargo can hutongs. Janine Dowdy, an airship engineer, had lived here, and she had held a stash for me. She and her family hadn't been in their flat when the bomb went off, but some of their neighbors had. It would be months before Letty went to trial, and finding an impartial jury would probably be next to impossible. A giant sat on the steps of one of the buildings. He took up most of the stoop, his brows furrowed deep in thought. You get those supplements?
They taste like chalk.
That's because they are. Well, diatoms, mostly. But they're supposed to be easier on your stomach.
They are, actually. Thanks.
Anything else you need right now?
A flat where we both fit would be a nice start.
That's gonna mean new construction.
Oh.
New construction means jobs, Kazis. Like for Class 2 mechanists?
Uh-huh. I hear you.
Then make sure Gwendolyn hears you so everyone can hear her. You working on anything new?
An oral history of the strike. I'm going to be 50 characters in 50 minutes.
I'd pay to see that.
You're in there, of course.
Oh, God, why?
Because I need a musical interlude. Sit down, just keep your seat.
I rolled my eyes and hurried down the street. Off Krippner, tucked behind a pocket park, there was a small green row house with a ground floor garage. The garage door was open, and the bright red tuk-tuk parked inside looked like an apple hiding inside a leafy tree.
Damn it! Fuck!
The tuk-tuk was up on blocks, and Sirikit was underneath, swearing at the transmission.
That doesn't work. Abuse just begets more abuse.
Sirikit crawled out from underneath. She wore a filthy coverall, and lube streaked her face.
Can't you just get us all to switch to bicycles? They're a lot easier to work on than these damn things.
And then I'd have every tuk-tuk driver in the city screaming for my head.
To hell with them! All they do is sit around anyway. The exercise would be good for them.
That's a hell of a way to talk about your fellow tradespeople.
Feel free to report me to my slave-driving boss. That kid's going to be the death of us anyway, the way she makes everyone actually work for a living. How are you doing?
Are you just being social, or are we starting early?
What do you think?
This is the reason I avoided actual therapy all these years. The bottle never made me question what I was doing.
Until it did.
Ah, so we are starting early.
Not until I've gotten out of these clothes. Ugh, tough to focus when everything itches.
I followed her inside her flat. It looked a lot like my old one. They were both built around the same time, during the union's heyday, when people were coming down the cable faster than they could find housing. There was a kitchen and a parlor and a single bedroom off to the left. The bay window looked out over a tiny garden. On the circular table in front of the window was a single hurricane candle, two rocks glasses, and a triangular bottle made from bumpy sea green glass. Sirikit sat down and glanced at the clock.
Almost six. Shall I pour?
Uh-huh.
She unscrewed the bottle and poured water into the glasses. Letty had indeed held on to the last bottle, and she'd turned it upside down when the riot foam consumed her. The bottle, though, had escaped unbroken. Sony's last act before resigning as chief of police was to release it to me from evidence. The crime lab had gotten all the prints and chemical analysis it needed. It wouldn't figure into the trial anyway. Sirikit pulled the blinds closed and lit the candle. We clinked glasses. The water was cool and clear and absolutely nothing like old windswept rum. But the fear had kept silent since Sirikit laid out this course of treatment, and I would have to trust in that for the time being. I could feel the fear lurking in the back of my brain, like a weight inside my skull. Maybe I wouldn't need to buy from the rebuilt distillery. Maybe I would. We'd see. We put down our glasses.
Okay, let's begin. Where are you?
I closed my eyes.
In your house.
Where's that?
Off Krippner Lane.
Where's that?
In Brushhead?
Where's that?
In the southwest part of Santee City.
Where's that?
On the eastern edge of the Big Island.
Where's that?
20 clicks away from the lifter.
Where is it anchored?
36,000 kilometers above the surface.
And what are you above?
Santee Anchorage.
And where is that?
I opened my eyes.
Here. I'm right here.
Let's start.
I blew out the candle. I still haven't dreamed yet. Maybe I never would. But as I breathed in the air from the garden, I figured, hell, this would do.
Windswept, Like a Boss, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2016 by Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved. Published by special arrangement with Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC, and the individual authors. Production copyright 2017, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Nanette Savard as Padma Mehta, Ken Jackson as Ona Nefe, Nora Ashradi as Sony Bagram, Lise Bruneau as Letty, with Christopher Graybill, Steve Wanall, Lily Beacon, Helen Pofumi, Danny Stoller, Todd Schofield, Amanda Forstrom, Kimberly Gilbert, Yasmin Twazan, Stephen Carpenter, Eleanor Todd, Dawn Ursula, Peter Holdway, Christopher Walker, Lolita Horn, Elizabeth Jernigan, Colleen Delaney, Drew Copus, Tweety Pham, Richard Rowan, Bradley Smith, and Scott McCormick. Directed by Nanette Savard. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Casey Green. Adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Be sure to look for Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy and Christopher L. Bennett's Only Superhuman, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.